Okay, folks, we are here at the last presentation. We have an interesting topic on artificial intelligence and litigation. It is an ethics credit. Our presenter today is Trey Peacock. He is a partner at Sussman Godfrey. He has over 30 years of experience leading trials across the country in complex litigation. And he has a bachelor's degree from Princeton University, and he attended the University of Texas School of Law. And he's also a Beaumont native, as am I. So thanks, Trey, for being here.
Good afternoon. Excuse me. Wow. Good morning. So I'm glad that I can be here today to talk to you all a little bit about artificial intelligence and how you might be able to use it in litigation. I'm glad a lot of you have stuck around. I know I'm standing between you and the weekend, but hopefully the hour of ethics credit you will all get if you stick around will be worth the wait. Before I get started, how many of you have used artificial intelligence somehow in your law practice? If you can raise your hand. Good number of you. How many of you have used artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, Copilot, any other types of apps, just in your general day-to-day lives, not necessarily your law practice? So you represent what's going on. I guess I need to know, where is the clicker? Is there one up here? Well, I may have covered. Oh, I found it. Sorry. The percentage of people who are starting to use this technology has been growing, and the percentage that are starting to use in the legal profession, as you can see, is 79% now. Now, when I found these statistics, that actually surprised me. In my practice and in my office, the number's probably not that high, although that may be a function of the nature of our practice. But certainly, I have been to presentations where lots of lawyers, particularly in smaller practices, in practices with non-hourly billing, practices with personal injury, where they're using it very extensively to do lots of routine, basic tasks that they think can be done much more efficiently and much more quickly without issues of billing that we'll get to in a moment. And that makes their time more cost-effective. You'll also see from this next slide that the adoption of artificial intelligence in the workplace is driven in part by age. It's generational, with younger lawyers being more willing to grab it and work with it than older folks like my generation. So what are we going to do, I hope, today? We're going to talk about what is artificial intelligence? What is it generally? What is it that has evolved that has made it so prevalent in our day-to-day lives? We'll then talk about some of the inherent dangers and limitations of AI use in litigation. And then we'll last turn to areas where it can be used in litigation and my observations about where it can and perhaps should not be used or done so only with extreme caution. Looking at four general categories of information. Your own stuff, we'll get to that, the stuff on your computer, your email, your files. Discovery materials, document productions, large-scale materials on a system like Relativity or Everlaw or another document platform. Then the more dangerous areas, legal research, writing, analysis, and summaries and trial preparation. As I was saying, this has become more prevalent. It was April Fool's earlier this week, and one of my partners decided to try something out, and he spent literally like 3 minutes and asked ChatGPT to write a rap song about one of our senior partners and his career. And in 3 minutes, it spit out, and he circulated one of the funniest rap audio songs I'd ever heard. And it was crazy accurate. And it not only picked up things it obviously pulled from his web bio that it found, but it pulled things out of his social media presence that talked about some of his hobbies, and it set it all to music. It had lyrics, it had a voice, it sounded like a real rap song, and it was all done in the blink of an eye. What is